Hello, and welcome to JAMA Evidence, our monthly podcast focused on core issues in evidence-based medicine. I'm Dr. Demetrios Kyriakou from Northwestern University. Today, we are discussing qualitative research with Dr. Meredith Van Stone. Dr. Van Stone is an assistant professor in the Department of Family Medicine at McMaster University. She is also a member of the Center for Health Economics and Policy Analysis. Dr. Van Stone uses a variety of qualitative research methods to examine ethical and social dimensions of health professional practice, education, and health policy decision-making. Dr. Van Stone, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Van Stone, what is qualitative research and how is it different from quantitative research?
So qualitative research, let's start off with how it's different, and then we can talk a little bit about what it is. So qualitative research holds different assumptions than quantitative research, and it uses different methods to answer different types of questions than quantitative research. So typically, qualitative research is interested in people's experiences, their perceptions, their beliefs, and how they make meaning about the world around them. And so to do this, qualitative researchers tend to use a variety of different methods that are all focused on accessing those personal experiences or perceptions. So we might talk to people directly, individually, in groups. We might study things that people have written, art that they've created. We might observe them as they go about particular activities. Or we might use a combination of these techniques to answer the research questions that we're interested in.
How can one tell if qualitative research results are credible?
So this is a little bit of a debate within qualitative research circles, and I'll outline the different stances that people take. So some people say you should be able to tell the credibility of qualitative research findings by using a given set of criteria, quality appraisal criteria, that are the same for qualitative research as they would be for quantitative research. You should be able to think about the validity and the bias of the study. Most qualitative researchers don't agree with that perspective. Within people who are familiar and have expertise in qualitative research, there tends to be two stances. That you can either use a set list of criteria that are specific to qualitative research, and these criteria might include things like trustworthiness, credibility, transferability of the research, but that it's possible to have a set list of criteria that could be applied to evaluate a variety of different studies. And then there are also some people who believe that you can't evaluate the rigor of qualitative research with a set list of criteria, that you need to consider each study by itself, looking at the methodology, the philosophical assumptions that sort of underpin the design and the conduct of that study, and also to appraise the findings of each individual study, to think whether those findings are useful and whether they're resonant, whether they're original. And that's the only way to appraise the quality of a qualitative research project.
That's interesting. How is qualitative research relevant to patient care?
So I think that it's relevant in a variety of different ways. For practicing clinicians, you can think about some of the problems that you face in clinical practice. You might have patients who are not interested in following the advice that you give them. They're just not really interested in doing what you think is helpful to improve their health. And so with problems like these, qualitative research might suggest to you some of the reasons that these patients are reluctant to follow your advice. It might suggest some potential avenues or different approaches that you could try to communicate this information, different strategies that you could communicate. Maybe there are alternative ways of looking at the same issue, and just sort of help break through some of those challenges that you meet when working with individual patients. We could also think about qualitative research as useful for informing your practice more generally. So there's lots of different skills that clinicians use, which are really quite similar to the skills that qualitative researchers use. So most clinicians will be familiar with the situation of sitting down with somebody and having that person communicate the reason why they came today or what problem they're experiencing. But the clinician really has a sense that maybe there's something else going on, or this isn't the whole story. There's important information that's being left out. The information that's given just doesn't sort of gel together. It doesn't fit. There's something missing. There's something that's not being said. And so the clinician then needs to probe a little bit gently and sensitively ask some questions, keep that patient feeling comfortable, maintain the rapport, but gather information while they construct an idea of the clinical picture and also probably the social picture of that patient. This is pretty similar to what we do as qualitative researchers, this idea of having different pieces of information and then inductively constructing a theory about what's going on, but also having the chance to check back with the patient or the participant and confirm our understanding of the situation.
Can you give an example of how a physician can apply the results of qualitative research to their practice?
So some of the research that I've been involved with look at the challenge of excess gestational weight gain. And there's lots of qualitative research on the barriers and the facilitators that pregnant women face in maintaining sort of a gradual weight gain in pregnancy and not gaining too much or too quickly. And so these findings could be very useful for prenatal care providers as they counsel patients and as they start to talk about weight. They suggest different ways that they could broach the topic of weight. They suggest common misunderstandings that women might have about what's appropriate weight gain, about the relationship between nutrition and food and weight gain and exercise. They point out some cultural thoughts about weight gain in pregnancy that might be helpful to address explicitly in the clinical encounter. And they also alert clinicians to barriers that some women might face that are about the sort of personal circumstances or the context of those women's lives that might not occur to the physician because it's so different from that person's own life. So, for example, issues like food insecurity, having a safe place to go outside to exercise, you know, after dark, maybe because the woman's working or she's caring for her children in the daylight hours, those type of issues that just it might be helpful to have some ideas about what the barriers are so that that discussion can be had and the issues can be discussed.
Dr. Van Stone, how has qualitative research influenced or affected patient-centered outcome research, which seems to be on the rise?
So I think that there's a really important role for qualitative research in the sort of patient-centered care, patient engagement in policymaking, all of this movement of including patients within the healthcare system as partners, as decision makers. And one of the most important contributions that qualitative research has made in this area, I think, is helping to originate some ideas of potential areas of concern or potential outcomes that might not occur to the clinical or the governmental regulatory experts because they don't live with the condition that's under study, they don't use the technology that they're considering. And so by talking to people that have that lived experience who are embedded in this context of interacting with whatever the issue under consideration is, they often have important insights about what's important, what's valuable, what's less important and could be deprioritized, that are just hard to access if you don't have that lived experience yourself, as few of the experts who are making these decisions often do.
Thank you for speaking with us, Dr. Van Stone. This has been a discussion on qualitative research. More information on this topic is available in the User's Guide to the Medical Literature and on our website, jamaevidence.com. where you can listen to our entire roster of podcasts. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon with another episode of JAMA Evidence.